Genesis 6. And if you listen to David sing real close, you know where Genesis is in the Bible. Amen? Right? First book. Amen? Genesis 6. And we started last week talking about the aspect of faith we said we was going to focus on this month was thanksgiving faith. Thanksgiving faith. Amen? And we said the way the Lord gave me this thought was because you think about a lot of times you've seen the saying and the quote, and I'm not quoting exactly. I didn't have it wrote down on this week's notes. I had it last week wrote down. But the fact that, you know, thanksgiving is good, but thanksgiving is better. Amen. And that's the way that we ought to live our lives, is thankfully to the Lord every day. Amen. By faith, no matter what's going on and taking place around us. And that's kind of what we began talking about last week. And each week we're going to talk about a reason, if you will, that we ought to take and live a life of thanks. Amen to the Lord. Last week we said one reason why we should be thanksgiving is God's greatness. Amen. His greatness. And the fact of how great and how powerful God really is. Amen. And we talked about that last week. And then this week we're going to talk about a second reason that we ought to be living a life of thanks to God. It's not only because of His greatness, but also secondly this morning, His graciousness. His graciousness. Amen. I don't know, I was noticing this morning, and other than Amazing Grace, okay, that one was intentional. But the other two songs, I realized that they mentioned God's grace. Amen. And I didn't intend those, either one, I didn't pick out because of that. But it was amazing to think about God shed His grace on thee. Amen. America, America. God shed His grace on thee. And our songs, our hymns especially, are chock full of mentioning and talking about God's grace. Amen. And we mention the word grace a lot. We, from time to time, to talk about it. But this morning we're going to kind of dive in a little bit more into this word grace and some things about God's grace in the Bible. And there's many different people that we could take and look at when we talk about God's grace, because the Bible, a lot of different great men and ladies down throughout the Bible, mentions, and the Bible talks about grace and how God's grace did many things in their lives. But this morning, the one the Lord laid on my heart was Noah, because you think about Noah, you can see God's grace evident in his life in a lot of different ways. But yet, one of the things that's unique to me about Noah and grace is a lot of times when we think about the word grace, and I guess more often it is in the New Testament than the Old, that we think about grace. Amen? Because we think about Jesus Christ and grace through Him and all of that. We're going to talk about some of those things this morning. But grace is even found in the Old Testament. And it's even found all the way back in the life of Noah. In Genesis chapter 6, and verse number 5 is where we're going to start reading. We'll see in just a few minutes the first time that the word grace is used in the Bible. And it was used concerning this man, Noah, that we're going to talk about a few minutes this morning that we're all familiar with. Genesis 6 and verse 5, it says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." You know, I've heard people say that this was the most wicked time on the earth, and then some people say it was more wicked today. I don't know, but I know this. We got to be close to the way it was back then. Amen? I'll say that. We got to be close, if not worse, than the way things was back then. Only evil continually. Verse 6, "And it repented the Lord that He had made man on the earth, and it grieved Him." It cut the Lord. It grieved Him. It hurt Him at his heart. Think about that. "And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." You see, God's heart was breaking, wasn't it? It was aching, it was breaking, if you will, over the fact of the condition that man was in, that his creation was in, if you will, because of man's sin. But notice verse 8. Here's a good but. Amen in the Bible. "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank You this morning for everything that You've done. Thank You for Your love. Dear Lord, I do pray that You'd help us this morning, dear Lord, all those that's out this morning. You touch their bodies. Help them. Thank You, dear Lord, for those that are able to be here this morning. Thank You for allowing us to be here. And dear Lord, I pray that You'd help us this morning, dear Lord, to focus on you and on your word for a few minutes, not to worry about what's going to take place, dear Lord, after church or tomorrow, but help us, dear Father, to focus on you and on your word. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts, would move this morning, and that you would stir us and encourage us this morning to see your grace in a real new light this morning, of how great your grace was to Noah even back then, and how your grace today is just as great for us, greater than all our sin. Thank you for all that you've done. Help us now this morning, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We see in verse 8 the first time that the word grace is found in the Bible. And the man that found, if you will, the grace of God, the first time it's recorded that way, although I know Adam did too, but the first time that the words are used, that a man found grace in the eyes of God, or found grace with God, if you will, it was talking about Noah. In verse 8, we see Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And you think about this morning, Noah, there's, of course, immediately we think about Noah's Ark. And we're going to talk a lot about that this morning throughout the message. Hit some highlights, not every point of it, but just some highlights of some different things. But the amazing thing to me was in verse 5, if you look at the words closely here, it says, "And God saw." And I marked that word "saw" in my Bible, because God saw something when He looked down, when He saw man, when He saw the earth. He saw the wickedness of man, that it was great. He saw that it was great. He saw the wickedness that we was in as mankind. He saw those things that it goes on to describe in verse 5, but He saw the great wickedness of man that was there. But if you look at verse 8 and real carefully, it says, "But Noah found grace in what? The eyes of the Lord." So not only did God see man's great wickedness, but He also saw, amen, Noah, and Noah found grace in God's sight. You think about this morning, I'm glad to simply put it this way, verse 5 and verse 8, we might sum up this way: God saw sin but gave grace. Amen. God saw sin when He saw mankind, but He gave grace to mankind through Noah. Amen. He saw sin, but He gave grace. I don't know about you today, but that's encouraging to me. Even back in Genesis 6, amen, the Bible's just getting started. Amen. And God saw sin, yes, but God gave grace back then, and He still gives grace today. You think about Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You know, there's a lot of good things to find. Amen. I don't know about y'all, but I think about one time I was at work at Bilo over in Rock Hill, and I was working in the frozen food and dairy department at the time. And I walked down the frozen aisle, and there laying on the floor was a $20 bill. Amen. I looked around, and there was literally absolutely nobody around. There was a $20 bill there. And I thought, well, ain't nobody here. I don't know. What do you do with it? I mean, it don't say I belong to so-and-so, right, on a $20 bill. And so it can't tell you whose it is, right? And it's kind of hard to, yeah, that $20 bill's mine. Yeah, I'm identifying it, you know. But anyway, I seen it on the floor, and I picked it up, and I said, well, what am I going to do with this? And I asked the guys that was working with me in the department over there that had been down the aisles and stuff, I said, did y'all lose any money? You know, the co-workers, and they were honest enough and said, no, we didn't have no $20. I said, I know I didn't lose it, because I don't have, you know. So, but anyway, they knew it wasn't theirs, and so evidently a customer or somebody had lost it. And so I took the money up front. I told my store manager, Mr. Price, I said, hey, I said, this was over here on the floor down the frozen aisle. I said, I know nobody's probably going to come identify it, but I just didn't want to take it and stick it in my pocket. I didn't feel right about doing that. I said, so I'm going to give it to you. I said, and whatever you want to do with it, you can do with it. And he said, well, I'll tell you what. He said, we'll keep it for a day or two. He said, and if nobody comes and says anything about it, he said, I'll give it back to you and you can have it because you found it. I said, okay. So about 2 days later, nobody had found it. He took it out of the envelope, gave it to me, and said, here you go. I was happy about that, amen, because I found some money, amen. I think I took Daryl out to lunch, I think, with that money or something is what I did with it, you know, for me and him one day, and you know, help my coworker out. But you think about the fact that, you know, you think about today, it's good to find some things, amen. Maybe some of y'all have some stories like that where you found some money or found something like that, and that was a blessing and great to have. But Noah found something far better than a $20 bill. Amen. And he found the grace of God. Amen. He found grace in the eyes of God, if you will. And you think about I asked myself this question, and I don't know if you've ever thought about it before, but what made, and I never really thought about it either, honestly, but what made Noah so special that he would find grace in the eyes of God? What made him such a great, wonderful, good man that of all the people here on this earth at that time, and there was a good many, that he would be the one amongst so many that actually found grace in the eyes of God? You think it was because he was such an upstanding, nice, handsome gentleman, or do you think it was, or because maybe he had a lot of wealth or a lot of money? What made him so special that he found grace in the eyes of God? Well, I believe if you read the whole thing, you see that he was a man that wanted to serve God and was trying in the midst of everything around him. Not that he succeeded in every way, because we see some things after the flood that Noah did that wasn't so good. But he was man and flesh just like us. But I believe he's trying to please God. He was trying to do what's right. His thoughts might have been on wickedness a lot, but it wasn't continually. I don't believe like a lot of these others, the Bible says. He was trying, if you will. There was a heart's desire, I believe, there in Noah. But I simply say that this morning to say this. I don't think there was nothing really great or outstanding about Noah, if you will, that made God look at him and say, oh man, I'm going to give him favor versus somebody else, except he had a heart's desire to try to be doing what God wanted him to do. The reason why I point that out is because you think about this word grace that's used here in verse number 8. The first time the word grace is used in the Bible is verse 8, and talking about Noah found grace. You take and you look up the word grace that's used here, and it means this: unmerited or undeserved favor. Unmerited or undeserved favor. Another word, simply this, that there was nothing in Noah that God looked at him and said, oh man, he's a handsome looking dude, he's got a lot of money, or blah, 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 or whatever you want to pick out, that God said, you know what? I'm going to give him grace and not give it to nobody else. That wasn't the case with Noah. Amen. That wasn't the case. Some people believe today that God's grace works that way, that he's got certain people that he says, I'm going to give you my grace and you ain't going to get it. That's not the way it works. Amen. That's not the way it was back then. If there had been some others out there that wanted to serve God, that maybe was trying to do right despite everything else, like Noah, I believe, was, not that was perfect, but you know what? I believe they could have found some grace in the eyes of the Lord too. Amen. But you think about Noah found grace. It wasn't something he deserved. It wasn't something he had worked for or earned, if you will. He was just a man trying his best, amen, to serve and to do best what he knew was right. And he found grace amongst all these others in the eyes of the Lord. God gave him grace. Amen. He gave him grace. I'm thankful today the same thing for us. If we'll just do what God wants us to do the best that we'll know how, we won't be perfect. Amen. But you know what? He'll give us grace too. Amen. And in those times of life where we need it, that extra grace, the Bible says he'll give us more grace, amen, as he did his servants in the past. You think about, there's a verse that I always like in Romans 5:21. It says this, that as sin hath reigned unto death. Their sin reigned, and boy, it brought some death. You think about the wickedness in Noah's day. Even so, the rest of the verse says, might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. If you read on in verse 9, it said in Genesis, it said, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a what? Just man and perfect in his generations. That don't mean he didn't sin. Amen. And Noah walked with God. In other words, he tried to serve God. Amen. He tried to live what the godly life that God would have him to. And he walked with God. And you think about what a statement that is. This man, Noah, he was a man that grace reigned in his life because he tried to serve the Lord. He tried to do what's right. And I think about today, God will give His grace, amen, and His salvation, amen, if somebody will just look to Him, amen. And that's what Noah did. He looked to the Lord, amen, and found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Romans 6:23 we could talk about, for the wages of sin is death, amen, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm just simply trying to make the point this morning that grace is undeserved, unmerited favor. Amen. It's not because a person has earned it, that, if you will, that God says, I'm going to give you my grace now. No, it's not that way. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 2, the Bible says this. Paul talking to the young Timothy, he says, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. In other words, he said, Timothy, he said unto you, he said, I want you to have the grace, mercy, and peace that only God can give in your life. I think today is the same thing's true for us. Amen. I want all of us to experience God's grace, His mercy, and His peace in our lives. And He'll give us His grace. Amen. If we'll just ask Him for it in our lives. If we'll just seek Him this morning as Noah did. You think about Noah was a man. God saw sin, but God gave grace. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And I believe today God's eyes are looking down saying, who can I give my grace to? Amen. He wants to give the gift of grace today. Whether it's the grace for salvation, amen, that can save your soul if you'll just look to Him and ask Him to save you, or whether it's His grace this morning to help you and sustain you through the trial that you're going through in your life. God wants to give grace this morning. If you'll just look to Him, He'll give you grace this morning. But notice, as we read on in Genesis 6, we're going to skip some verses for the sake of time this morning. But God told Noah He wanted him to build the ark and told him about what was getting ready to take place to man. But down in verse 14, He gives him some instruction, if you will, in Genesis 6:14 concerning how to build the ark. And we're not going to read all this, but just a couple of verses. Verse 14, He said, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. Notice here, not only this morning do we see that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, but because of that, the Lord gave him instructions how to build the boat. Amen. How to build the ark. By the way, let me interject this real quick before I go any farther. This is a true story. Amen. It's not a fable. It's not a fairy tale. There was actually a man named Noah. Amen. The earth was actually wicked at this time. It's not hard to imagine the world being actually wicked at this time. But there was a man named Noah. Amen. God told him to build the ark, and he did it. Amen. And because of that, you and I are here today. Amen. And thank the Lord for that. That's what the Bible says here. It's true what happened. He took and he made rooms in the ark. Amen. The Bible says in verse 14, it tells us the type of wood, even that he used, the gopher wood, to make it out of. And down at the end of the verse, it says something interesting. And shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And some people, from when I did a little research on the internet about this, some people want to debate this. And they want to try to say, well, see, the ark ain't true because there's pitch right here being mentioned. And there wasn't oil back then at this time because the world wasn't old enough, and how oil's formed and all these types of things. Well, what they don't realize, you think about pitch they used in ships and lots of different things even back then, but there's many different types of pitch. Amen. Many different types of ways you can get it. And the type of pitch that they used when they used Noah's ark come from tree sap. Tree sap. They would take and get some of the sap and make it and mix it and do it in certain ways. And that's how they would get the pitch, is from the tree sap. Then you notice the Bible says here they pitched the ark within and without. Kind of like a tar-like substance, but they would make it from the tree sap. And they would take and use that on the inside of the ark, the Bible says, and on the outside of the ark. It was applied to both areas. Amen. Both areas. You say, why is that important? Amen. Well, you wanted a double seal. Amen. In other words, it's the best way I know to describe it. You didn't want to just put it on the outside and something happened somewhere on the outside and be a spot. You put it on the inside and you got a double layer of protection. Amen. You got a double layer. I don't know about you, but I would want a double layer if I was getting ready to be in a flood and experience all this rain. Amen. And the Lord told it, put it inside and put it outside. Amen. And I thought it was interesting that it says within first and then it says without. You say, why is that important? Because I think as we look at this, we can see the grace of God in verse 14. Because you think about, here was the pitch that was needed on the inside of the boat and on the outside of the boat. He needed God's grace on the inside, amen, and he needed God's grace on the outside if he was going to make it through to the other side. You think about, the interesting thing here is this word pitch that's used. And it's used two different times in verse 14. And shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. It's a unique word because this is the only time that I found in the Bible that the Hebrew word that's used here is translated to pitch. Now the word pitch is used in other places in the Old Testament, but it's a different Hebrew word. This is the only time. There's places in Exodus where the words pitch is used in different things, but it's always a different Hebrew word. Why do I point that out? Because there's a unique significance to verse number 14. Because this is the only time that this Hebrew word is translated in our Bible, the word pitch. This is the only time. The other times that the word Hebrew word is found in our language is translated differently. In some places it's translated this word, atonement. Atonement. That's what this word means. It means atonement. So when you look at this verse, you think, why in the world would the same word be translated atonement in another place, and here it's translated pitch? It's kind of unique, isn't it? In some places, the same Hebrew word, rather than pitch or atonement, is translated this way, to purge. To purge. And I'm getting ready to show you some verses with the examples of this in a minute. To purge, if you will. And in another place, rather than translating it pitch or purge or atonement, it's translated this way in our English Bible, pardon. Pardon. Now you think about all those examples I just gave you of pardon, amen, of atonement, and purge. All three of those are kind of similar. Amen. We can see a connection in all those. But the pitch that you take and put on a boat on the inside and on the outside to keep it from leaking, that's a whole other different thing, isn't it? Why in the world is it translated that way? It's no mistake at all whatsoever. But what we have right here is a picture of the fact that this is the grace of God. Amen. That, in other words, that if this ship was going to make it through, it was going to take God's atoning grace. Amen. It was going to take God's atonement. It was going to take God's grace, if you will, to make it through. You think about the fact that God's atonement, if you will, had to surround them if they were going to make it safely to the other side. May I say today that if you and I are going to make it through the floods and the storms of life that we're in, guess what? We're going to have God's salvation and His grace, amen, surrounding us within and without if our boat's going to stay afloat and we're going to make it to the other side. Why do I point all this out? It's not to confuse you, but simply to make this point. Do you remember in the New Testament there's a verse of Scripture that we use a lot of times? And it talks about that fact that once we get saved, what happens to us? We're placed in whose hand? God's hand. But not just God's hand, who else's hand is with us? You read it, and there's two hands, right? We're in His hand, and we're covered on the top in His hand too, within and without. Why do I point that out? Because when I see this verse this morning, it speaks to me the fact that we can't lose our salvation. Amen. Our boat will never sink. Amen. Once we get in the boat of salvation, once our sins have been atoned for, once our sins have been purged, once our sins have been pardoned, then guess what? We're safe in the boat. Amen. Why? Because there's pitch all around us. Amen. There's pitch on the outside of the boat. There's pitch on the inside of the boat. We got God's hands around us and we are safe going to the other side. Amen. We don't have to worry about if it rains 40 days and 40 nights. We don't have to worry about if something happens that ain't never happened before, like Noah's flood in our lives. Amen. You know what? God gave us instructions. We follow Him. We're covered in His blood. Amen. Our sins have been atoned for. We'll make it safely to the other side. You think about this morning, what a blessing God, the fact that God pitches within and without. Let me show you a couple verses here where the same word's used. Exodus 32. Exodus 32. Let's turn and look at these this morning. Exodus 32. Because this fact that the pitch was used within and without to keep them safe, if you will, in the boat, to keep any leaks from happening. Amen. You can't fall out of God's hands. Amen. Just like no water was going to get in Noah's boat. Amen. Because the atonement was there. The blood was applied. The pitch was there to keep them safe. The same thing's true with our salvation. Exodus 32, if you will, and look down with me at verse number 30. Exodus 32, 30. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, ye have sinned a great sin. Big sin, right? And now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure I shall, here it is, make an atonement. That's the same word, but here is atonement used. For your sin. So there's one example of that. Turn with me to Psalm 79. Psalm 79. That same word that's used for pitch, translated in different ways. Just showing you the picture this morning that pitch if you will, is a picture of His atonement, of the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ, of His blood, of His grace for you and for me. Psalm 79 and verse number 9. Psalm 79, 9. I like this one. In Psalm 79, 9 here, the psalmist said, "Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of Thy name, and deliver us," and that next word is the same word, "purge away our sins for Thy name's sake." Amen. You think about the fact today, I'm glad to know that He can purge our sins. He can atone for our sins. Amen. And He can keep us safe. Amen. In His atonement. And thank the Lord this morning. Proverbs 16 and verse number 6. Proverbs 16 and verse number 6. Proverbs 16, 6. Proverbs 16, 6. Another good verse of Scripture. You're probably familiar with this one. We use it a lot of times. Proverbs 16, 6. "By mercy and truth, iniquity is," here's the word again, "purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil." Amen. You think about, I'm simply saying this morning that that pitch within and without is a picture of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ being applied, amen, to our hearts and our lives, that atones for our sins, amen, that'll carry us safely to the other side. That once we get saved, once we get in the boat, everything's safe, everything's fine, we're not going to lose our salvation, amen. Everything is good, but the question is this morning, are you in the boat, amen? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior this morning? Has that pitch been applied, amen, on the inside and the outside of your boat? Because if Noah would have taken and he would have built the boat and he had said, "No, I don't need that pitch. It'll be all right. I built this thing good and sturdy and tight." You know what would have happened when the flood and the waters came? Down would have went the boat. Down would have went the boat. Why? Because he didn't do it God's way. May I say the same thing's true with salvation today. Amen. Many people try to take and they say, "No, my boat's tight. My boat's fine. I'm doing good on my own. I know better than God does. I'm doing good. I'm not as bad as that person is." Be careful. You better have His blood applied and His pitch within and without. Amen. Because if not, you're going to sink. Amen. In judgment day. You think about the fact today, the fact that His blood is applied within and without. Eternal security because the pitch has been applied by the Lord Jesus Christ. We can see that through the boat of safety, through the ark of Moses here. No, Moses. I knew I was going to do that. Noah. Amen. And thank the Lord for that. Look with me back in Genesis. I lost my spot turning around here. But Genesis 6, and look down at verse number 16, and we'll see something else about the ark that shows us God's grace. We see His grace in the fact that He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We see His grace because of the pitch that shows the atonement of the Lord in God's grace and His pardon. That was within and without. And by the way, the pitch was within and without. That speaks to me about when you got God's pardon on the inside, amen. On the outside, it shows up, amen. There's some difference in a person's life. But notice with me verse 16 of chapter 6, and we'll see another thing about the ark that was unique. "A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third story shalt thou make it." So here we see several more descriptions about how the ark was supposed to be made and done. We see that the next thing verse 16 says that we'll look at is a window. Amen. They were to put one window in the ark. Can you imagine this huge ark, three stories, right, is what verse 16 tells us. But guess what? Only one window. That's all that was needed. Amen. One window. But look on at the rest of the verse. It tells us also there was a door that was to be put in the ark, and thou shalt set it in the side thereof. How many doors was there, according to the Bible, in the ark? One door. Amen. One big door, by the way. Amen. One big door. You think about that's unique, isn't it? There's one window in this ark and only one door in this big old ark. Boy, fire department would have an issue with that, wouldn't they? Building and code, amen. You got to have more than one exit. You got to have more than one, you know, they'd probably anyway have a field day with that. But God said one window, amen, and only one door, amen, if you will. May I say today, the ark of salvation only needed one door, amen. The ark of safety only needed one door, amen. Why? because there's only one way to be saved today. Amen. There's only one way to experience the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, and that's through Him and being saved. Amen. You think about the fact today, there's only one door to heaven, and that's Jesus. You say you're making that up. That's something you're creating. John 14:6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see, there was only one way to get on the ark, and that was through the door. And there was only one door to go into, amen. There's only one way to get saved, amen, and get on the boat of salvation, and that's through the door, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you say you're making it up, He's the door. No, turn with me to John chapter number 10. John chapter number 10. This is what Jesus said in John chapter number 10. Read a couple of verses here. John chapter number 10. Matter of fact, this truth is taught in more than one place, but we'll just look at one. In John 10 and verse number 1, he's talking about the sheepfold here, but we could turn over to Revelation and he talks about the door there as well. John 10 and verse 1, it says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth forth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them, Again, verily, verily, or I would say truly, truly, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. That's what Jesus said. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Verse 9, here he is again. The second time he says this here, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Amen. In other words, simply this, two different times here we see that Jesus said, I am the what? He's the door. Amen. He is the door. You see, they didn't need two doors in the ark. Amen. Because there was only one ark of safety, by the way. There wasn't two arks or three. There was only one. Amen. And if you didn't get in that one ark, you was going to miss the boat. Amen. You wasn't going to be saved. And there's only one way of salvation today. There's not many boats of salvation. There's not the Hindu way, the Islam way, the this, that way. No, there's only one way. There was only one Noah's boat. Amen. And it was a real boat. May I say, there's only one way to salvation. That's a real way of salvation, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one way in, and that's through the door, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a lot of people today trying to get into heaven other ways, and they're deceived. Amen. And they're believing the wrong thing. I'm sorry. I'm not saying anything bad about them. I'm just saying they're deceived and believing the wrong way. Amen. And they're going to find out one day if they don't come through that door before that door shut and it's too late, they're going to find out that they've been deceived. And they're going to spend eternity in hell. And they're going to be losing forever and ever and ever. I'm thinking about and regretting it. But yet, no doubt, as that rain began to pour, some of those sit there and maybe even beat on the side of the ark and different things like that, no doubt, thinking, boy, did I miss out? Did I make a mistake? Noah tried telling me all these years he built this boat. That 500-year-old man, when he started building this boat, and I wouldn't take and listen to him. Think about that. No doubt many of them took and dismissed him. 500-year-old man, he's nuts, right? Building this big, huge boat. It ain't never rained before, but look at what he's doing over there. You think about today, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. You're familiar with the verses. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. You see, they couldn't work their way into the ship. They couldn't take and go to Noah and say, Noah, I'll help you build the boat. I'll help you work on it. And then can I go in? I'm sure he'd let them help, but you know what? That ain't what got him in the boat. Amen. All they had to do was go in. Amen. The door was open wide by God's grace and God's mercy. All they had to do was walk in. It was prepared for them. May I say today the same thing's true. Salvation is here. It's open. The Lord says with open arms this morning, the door's open if you'll just come. The door's open if you'll just come. I think about the old song that some of you probably are familiar with. Most of you are. It says, So high you can't get over it. So wide you can't get around it. So low you can't get under it. You must come in at the door. Amen. That's the only way to get into salvation, and that's the only way to get into the ark, is to go through the door. Amen. Through the door. But notice in chapter number 6, back if you would, in Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 22, the last verse, if you will, of the chapter. Genesis 6 and verse number 22. The last verse there of the chapter says this. Thus did Noah, and I mark those words in my Bible. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. He obeyed God. Amen. He put the rooms in there, put the pitch in there, put the window in there, put the door in there, built it the stories God said, the length, the height, the width, everything that God said, the type of wood God said use, everything God told him to do. You analyze it, study it all out, and what did the Bible say? He did it. Amen. He obeyed God and did what God told him to do. Now notice the next verse, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, once everything was done, once he obeyed God, right? Had everything completed and done. And the Lord said unto Noah, mark this next word in your Bible. If you mark in your Bible, mark it. If you don't mark in your Bible, start marking and mark this one. Amen. And the Lord said unto Noah, come, thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. There it is again, talking about how he was a righteous man, how he tried to serve the Lord. But notice it said, and the Lord said unto Noah, come. You think about something with me this morning. Brother Brent, will you do me a favor? Will you ask me to come to where you are?
Come on over here.
Amen. Thank you.
Come.
Thank you.
Glad you came.
Amen. David, come here. Come here. All right, now he's with us.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I come to him, and he come to me, or to us. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me ask you this question. Would I say this? Y'all all see where we are, right? Would I say, David, come over here with me? If I was already, I wouldn't say that, would I? He's here, right? Thank you, David. Go sit down. Why do I point that out? Because you say come when you're not with that person, right? In other words, if I would have been standing here at the beginning with Brother Brent, I wouldn't have said, Brother Brent, can I come over here with you? No, I wouldn't have said that, would I? In other words, you say come because somebody isn't where you want them to be, amen, and you want them to go a certain direction, and so you say what to that person? Come. Amen. I'm not an English expert, but I know this much, amen. You think about the word come. Why is that important? Because notice what the Lord said after everything was done and completed that Noah had told him to do, that God had told him to do. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house, where? Into the ark. Why is that important? Because simply this fact, God was already in that ark. It was completed, it was done. He did everything that God asked him to do and everything God told him and commanded him to do. He obeyed God, and you know what? God was there in the ark before he was. When he was on the outside, Noah took and said, Lord, I've did everything. And the Lord's standing there on the inside, and he said, well, come on in. I'm right here waiting on you. I'm right here. I'm already inside the door. Come on. Let's go. I thought about the fact this morning, simply this. The word come here explains the fact that in the ark of safety today, the Lord's inside waiting. He's the door. The door's wide open. You still have a chance today if you're not saved to be saved. And today if you're away from the Lord and not where you ought to be in your life or got some sin or something in your life, today the door of forgiveness is open and the Lord says, come. Come on. I'm right here waiting on you. You see, today the Lord's on the inside of the ark of safety waiting I'm here. I'll be here with you through the storms of life. I'll be here with you no matter what comes tomorrow. Will you come to me? Will you come to me today, the Lord says? Today the Lord says these words in Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 20 that I referred to a minute ago. Behold, look at this. Look at it, he says. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, Noah heard his voice. Amen. He was there and he told him to come. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. This morning, simply, I close with this thought, if you will. Noah was outside the ark, and the Lord was on the inside. Today, may I ask you, are you on the outside of the ark of safety? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, and is He standing there at the door today saying, won't you come? Won't you come? The boat's prepared. It's been pitched within and without. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has been applied. But if you're not in the boat, you're going to see the boat sail by and one day wish you would have got on the inside. You're going to wish you'd have got on the inside so that you could have made it safe to the other side. Today we should live a life of thanksgiving because of the greatness of God, but also His grace. I'm glad today to know that when I look at the ark that took place, this event, one of the most unique, greatest events of history, that I see God's grace. And I think about the greatest event that's ever happened in my life was the day that I got saved, August 22nd, 1992. A day I'll never forget, just like the day of that ark has never been forgotten. Amen? Why? Because God's grace is what made it great. And that grace is greater than all our sin. This morning, today, He says, come into the ark. Are you in the ark today? Of safety. Once you in. Amen. And you'll be safe and He'll carry you safely to the other side. And He'll shut that door. And no matter the storm, amen, you can rest assured knowing that one day you'll see Him when the storm's in. Let's pray.